Matthew writes, beginning in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us and this wonderful story, the wonderful account of you coming to us. We thank you, God, that you wrapped yourself in flesh and you became a man and dwelt among us. As the scripture said, as we just heard again, to save us from our sin. The wonderful story of what Christmas is about. So, Lord, as we look into your word again and this story that we know so well, Lord, may we again discover the wonder of your glory, of your greatness, and of just the joy that it is that you, God, are with us in your fullness and in your power and in your glory. So, Lord, open your word to us this morning that we see you again today. Through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. Christmas is a time of wonder. In fact, there's a popular song out. It was recorded, I think, first by Andy Williams. It's called "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And it talks about the wonder of Christmas and the wonder of this time of year. And it truly is a wonderful time. In fact, for the eyes of children, Christmas is fun to experience through the eyes of kids. For those of you who have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or when you had your children, just remember the wonder. Or I remember when going, some of the childhood memories, the wonder that Christmas brought to me, or going to New York City and walking at Christmas time and seeing the storefronts decorated with all the beauty. Kim tells me about times that she remembers when her parents took her down as a child to Redmond's. Anybody remember where Redmond's was? And they had the moon room in there. Anybody remember the moon room? And you go in and it was all the Christmas trees and it was just amazing. And then I would go down there too and it was just amazing to see. And as a child, some of the wonder I remember Christmas, and it doesn't happen this way anymore, but you never had anything decorated for Christmas till after Thanksgiving. Remember the good old days? And up to Thanksgiving time, it was like nothing. And then the day after Christmas, you would go in. Day after Thanksgiving, go into the stores, and all of a sudden, it'd be transformed overnight. It was like, wow, this is great. And it was part of the wonder of Christmas and the majesty. But it truly is a time of wonder. It brings wonder to us. And we're going to begin a new series in our Advent journey of one that I've entitled Wonder, Christmas Wonder, because there's things of Christmas that I wonder about. Have you just wondered about some of the story of Christmas and its magnitude? I know Mark Lowry wrote a song that has become a classic at Christmas now called "Mary, Did You Know?" And in that song, he just asks some of the things we may wonder about. Like, "Mary, did you know that the one you're holding was the great I Am? Mary, did you know that," you know, and Christmas is a time just to wonder again, like through the eyes of children. It's just, rediscover some of that wonder in this story. Because the story of Christmas that we know so well is full of wonder and grandeur. So I've entitled this series, Christmas Wonder. And through these weeks ahead, we're going to look at hopefully rediscover and capture the wonder of Christmas again. Because Christmas is about Jesus and recapturing the awe and the wonder of Christ. For as we rediscover the wonder of Christmas, that's what we're really doing, is rediscovering the awe and the wonder of Jesus. To be overwhelmed with Him and what His coming means to us. That the story that we've heard every single year that we celebrate. And to rediscover again the majesty. Because after all, Isaiah said that His name will be called Wonderful. And in His name, Wonderful is full of wonder. It's full of grandeur and full of glory. So today we want to begin recapturing this wonder by looking into the life and the story of Joseph. A man who God chose to be the earthly father of Jesus. As we know, Jesus' real father, Heavenly Father, was God Himself. But the one who God chose to be the earthly father, to give Him the responsibility of raising Jesus and teaching and instructing Him. And we want to look at His life story here and rediscover the wonder. Because in Joseph's life, we see some things that we're going to learn. But Emmanuel changes everything, and it changes the wonder. One of the greatest wonders of Christmas is that God came to us, and that is His name, Emmanuel. And today, by looking at Joseph's life, we are going to discover the wonder again, the wonder of His presence. And I just pray that we're overwhelmed as we walk in here again this morning and we see the beauty of the sanctuary decorated at Christmas time. That we're overwhelmed with the wonder of the presence of Christ. That Emmanuel, God, is with you and with me. Joseph needed that encouragement. Because an experience in his life that we're going to look at in chapter 1, as this story opens, it was a difficult time and experience in his life that he was facing. And when he heard that news that Emmanuel, God, was with him, it changed everything in his life. It changed his perspective. It changed the situation in which he thought he was in. And it totally transformed him. Why? Because Emmanuel, the wonder of the presence of God, overwhelmed him as the glory of Christ was revealed. From Joseph's story, we're going to discover the wonder of his presence, and that it gives us four things. And the first thing we see is that the wonder of his presence gives us hope in the midst of adversity. The story opens by Matthew recording, and it said this is how the birth of Christ came about, that his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, in Hebrew culture, we went over a little bit of this when we went through the Revelation series together. But in Hebrew culture, marriage had several different phases. And the fathers would get together and they'd make an arrangement, Jake. And the fathers would arrange who you were to marry. You didn't have that choice. You're glad you had that choice, right? But the fathers would make an arrangement. And they would get together and decide who was best. And then they would make that arrangement together. And then they would make an announcement of that. And then they would have a betrothal period. The betrothal period would last sometimes a period of 2 years. And that's when it was finally made together and they were announced that the couple was like, or we see it as engagement. But to them, they considered it married. And they were considered married except that the relationship was not to be consummated because they weren't fully done. The ceremony wasn't held yet. But during that time of engagement or betrothal, they were to be faithful to each other. and they were to be faithful and to committed to each other, and that was their life. And if one of them broke that, then they were considered being unfaithful or breaking the engagement, and the ceremony could be called off. It was in the midst of that situation that Mary found herself. When the angel came to her, she was engaged at this point, betrothed to Mary Joseph. And the angel came to her, and we know the story, overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. Now Joseph hears this news. And he hears this news that he's engaged, that Mary, who he's engaged to marry, is now with child. And to him, his heart sank. He thought his world was crashing in around him. He felt betrayed. He felt, how could Mary do this to me? How could she be unfaithful to me? He said, I thought she was committed to me. And he felt that his world was crashing in around him. He felt that his dreams for a perfect family had been dashed. And it definitely was a time of adversity and darkness in his life. In fact, he was contemplating what to do. It says here in verse 19 that he was a righteous man. He was a man of integrity. And he didn't want to put Mary to public disgrace, because it would have been his right that he could have brought her up before the people and had her declared unfaithful and had her stoned. Or he could have divorced her and ended it out altogether and walked away from it. And he was contemplating what to do. He didn't want to put Mary through public embarrassment. But yet at this point he felt, I can't go on with this anymore, because she's been unfaithful to me. And he felt that his world had been turned upside down. Have you ever been, maybe our situation's different, but have you ever had times in your life where you feel like your world's been turned upside down? Where your hopes were dashed? With what you were hoping for maybe didn't turn out the way you thought it would? And we go through those times of adversity in our life. We all have them. And sometimes we feel, what do we do in the midst of that? Where is God in the midst of that? And that's what Joseph felt. But the Lord appeared to him and through an angel and gave him a dream. And in that dream, as it ended, it said that Mary will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And that news that God was with Joseph in the midst of that time of adversity gave him hope. Because see, God is with us, and we're not alone. So no matter what you're facing, the wonder of Christmas and the joy is that we have hope in the midst of adversity. Because God is with us now and forever. The good news of Christmas is that God himself came down to us. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus and wrapped in bodily form. And God will never, ever forsake you. God will never, ever abandon us when it gets tough. He is faithful and he is true. Doesn't that encourage you this morning that because Emmanuel is here, the wonder of his presence, that we have hope in the midst of adversity? Because we all face adverse times in our life, don't we? None of us are immune from it. And to know that we don't go through those by ourselves. But God is with us. We're not alone. But also, God is in us. And because God is in us, we can do all things. Philippians 3:4-13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And because God is in us, there is nothing that God and us cannot face together. And maybe write that down on your sermon notes. Because God is in me, there is nothing that God and I cannot handle together. And aren't you thankful for that? No matter what it is, nothing that you and I, that we cannot handle together with God. The good news of Christmas is God came down to us to do life together with us. To dwell with us, to live with us, to journey with us, and to stick with us through all things. Hope in the midst of adversity. That's part of the wonder of his presence. Joseph needed that hope. He didn't think he had any. He thought it looked pretty dark from his situation as he was seeing it. But when God spoke to him and reassured him of his presence, things changed. It turned everything around. Jesus' presence with us turns everything around. Gives us hope in the midst of adversity. But second, the wonder of his presence gives us courage in the midst of fear. Because there's times in all of our lives we have fear. Fear of illness, fear of the unknown, fear of the different things that we face. But the presence of God with us gives us courage. Notice what the angel said to him. Angel said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." He said, "But do not be afraid." And the angel said, "You don't have to be afraid, because God is with you." He gave him, as he looked at this, as we look at this story, and the angel said, this is a fulfillment of what the scripture said through Isaiah, that the woman will be with child and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It calls us to go back to the context of when the scripture was given and what was going on at that time, because it relates. So turn back to Isaiah chapter 7, because that's this quoting of this scripture that the Lord was quoting from Isaiah to Joseph to help him in this time, and said, "Don't be afraid. There's courage in the midst of fear." And he wanted to remind him of this. Isaiah chapter 7, we read the story of King Ahaz, who was the king of Judah, the two southern tribes of Israel at that point, made up basically of Judah and Benjamin. And he was on the throne in Judah. And in the north, King Rezin of Aham and Ramallah, king of Israel, were making an alliance. And Aram and Israel in the north were making an alliance to come in to attack Judah and Jerusalem and overtake it. And King Ahaz was afraid. And he was afraid and was filled with fear that his kingdom was going to fall, that the nation was going to be captured. And the fear had overtaken him and paralyzed him. And the Lord spoke to him through Isaiah. And he said to him in verse 4, "Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid, and don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood." He said, "Don't be afraid of these two kings. They're not going to overtake you. I am with you. My presence will sustain you. Have courage. Trust in me." And King Ahaz didn't believe. He didn't have the faith to trust God. His fear was paralyzing him. And so the Lord said to him through Isaiah, "Then ask Ahaz to ask for a sign," in verse 11. He said, "Tell him to ask the Lord for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." Because the fear was paralyzing the king. So Isaiah said, "Well, God says, ask for a sign to prove that I'm with you. That you don't have to fear, that he's going to give you victory in battle. Ask him for a sign." And the king, in his doubt, said, "Well, I'm not going to put God to a test. I'm not going to ask him." So Isaiah said, "Then the Lord himself will give you a sign. And that is, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel. And he will eat curds and honey when he gets old enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings that you dread will be laid waste." And so the Lord said to Isaiah, through Isaiah to the king, "Here's the sign. There's going to be a woman who's going to give birth to a child. He's going to be named Emmanuel. And before he's 2 years old, the kings that you fear are going to be destroyed and will not face you anymore." And Emmanuel, and it was reminded, given the name Emmanuel, God with us. And he wanted Ahaz to know that God was with him and he could have courage. It was the context of that was quoted back to Joseph. and fulfilled. This prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus himself when God came through Christ. But his coming, his presence with us, gives us courage in the midst of the fear. And Mary, whenever she was confronted with the angel, she was afraid. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid. When the shepherds heard the news and the angels in the sky, they said, don't be afraid. Fear not. We bring you good news of great joy. But the coming of Jesus gives us courage. What is it that causes fear in your life? Know that Emmanuel, God with you, and me, the wonder of his presence, gives us the courage that we need, and the strength and the hope in the midst of times. Third thing we see in this story is that the wonder of God's presence gives us counsel in the midst of confusion. In verses 20 to 23, as Joseph was contemplating what to do in this situation, as he looked and he heard this news about Mary's pregnancy and her telling him the story that she was faithful and him wanting to believe that, but the story that she came up with, that God is the Father and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And he said, how could this be? And he was trying to contemplate all of this and looking at his options. Well, what do I do? He didn't want to put her to public disgrace. He loved her too much. He was too righteous of a man. He said, how can I deal with this? He needed counsel. He needed instruction. And the Lord appeared to him. And that's exactly what he needed, was a word from the Lord. And the angel came and said, do not be afraid. Mary, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus and take her as your wife. And the Lord gave him specific instruction through his word and gave him counsel. And in the midst of his despair, he needed that counsel and direction. He needed that word from the Lord. So do we. And there's times in our life when we're going through those hard times, we don't know which way to go or what decision to make. Or sometimes the situation we're facing faces so grave and we don't know what to do. Emmanuel with us, God with us, gives us the counsel that we need in times of confusion. That he can begin to make that clear for us. He can begin to say, this is the way, walk in it. He will reveal that to us through his presence. It may not be like we want it fully all at once. Sometimes it's step by step, and that's how he leads us. But knowing that God with us gives us the wisdom, because he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And that his counsel is wonderful. And we can trust him. His words are faithful. And he is true. And he can be relied on. And his wisdom far outseeds ours. I mean, he knows the whole story. And we can rely on him. So is there times in your life you're facing a confusing situation? You don't know how to handle it or what to do. Emmanuel, God, is with you and me. And the wonder of his presence brings us counsel in the midst of confusion. So ask him. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. He tells us in James, if any of us lack wisdom, to ask of him. And he gives it to us freely, abundantly. But he says, if we ask, we have to believe and not doubt. Because he said, if we doubt, we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. We're like a wave being tossed by the sea. But counsel in the midst of confusion. That's what the wonder of his presence does for us. His coming changes everything. But also, we see that his coming and the wonder of his presence gives us strength in the midst of weakness. There's times that our strength is gone, and we need the strength of the Lord in order to go forward. And Joseph needed the strength of God in order to do what God was telling him to do. I mean, we think of Mary, and it really did take a lot of faith for her to be willing for her body to be used for the Lord to indwell and for her to go through the pain of childbirth and to carry the stigma of all that upon herself. And it was a big sacrifice for Mary. But it also was for Joseph, because he willingly took that on himself. And he then became the earthly father and took on that responsibility of caring for Joseph. And he needed strength of God to do that. And you have strength in the midst of weakness, because when Emmanuel comes, it gives us the ability and the strength to obey without hesitation. Because notice what he did. It says in verse 24, when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. God gave him strength with Emmanuel's presence, with God with him, gave him the strength to obey God, to obey him without hesitation. He willingly and he quickly did what God wanted him to do. Even though it wasn't going to be easy for him, even though it was going to be a sacrifice for him, even though it was not what he had planned, but he obeyed God and didn't even think twice. He didn't have that strength within himself. We saw at the beginning of the story, he was conflicted. He was in that inner conflict about what to do. But when he heard that news that God was with him, it gave him strength, because he did not have that on his own in the midst of our weakness to obey. It also gives us the strength to trust what we don't understand. Joseph didn't fully understand God's plan, either did Mary. And to fully understand why God was choosing to enter the world in this way. Why would God come in that form and then be born and laid in a manger? And all the things of God's blunder, the plan that we don't fully understand, but knowing that God is with us gives us the strength to trust what we don't understand. And to leave it in his hands, knowing that God knows what's best. He is working it out according to his good purpose and will, and we will just trust him. Just leave it in his hands. And strength to rely on resources that we don't have. Joseph didn't have the resource in himself. He needed God's strength. The same with us. And the resources that we don't have to trust and rely on God. And knowing that he will provide when we get to the end of ourselves and leave it in his hands. Emmanuel coming, God with us, changes everything. And the good news of Christmas is that God is with us now. But in Revelation, in Sunday school, we talked about this. That the dwelling of God is going to come down on earth with us, and God will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him, and his presence is with us now and forever. And someday we will fully be with him. Now he's with us through his Spirit, but someday we will see him face to face. God with us, and the wonder of his presence should overwhelm us, that we are in the presence of the mighty God. God who is with us. The one who spoke and created everything. The one who was limitless in his power, who is almighty, the creator of all, the faithful one, the provider, our Savior, our Lord, the Holy One, God himself is with us. And what a privilege. That's the wonder of what his coming means to us and of his presence. So have hope, because there is hope in the midst of any adversity you're going through. Courage in the midst of our fears. Counsel in the midst of our confusion. And strength in the midst of our weakness. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And that's the good news of Christmas, the wonder of his presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us now and forever. in the midst of the adversities and the trials that we may face, in the midst of diagnosis of cancer, in the midst of times in the hospital, unexpected or heart attack, or in the case of Lisa with the aneurysm. God, you are with us. And you share that journey with us. You give us strength that we don't have ourselves. You give us comfort and hope in the midst of great times of darkness. With you present in our life, as difficult as it may be, you give us the strength that we need to endure those situations, because we know that we're not by ourselves. You walk through it with us. You don't abandon us. And so we have hope in the midst of any adversity that we may face. You also give us courage in the midst of our fear. And the things, Lord, that make us afraid, it paralyzes us. We don't have to be afraid, because you are with us, and greater is the one who's in us than the one who's in the world. We also thank you that because you are with us, you give us counsel. In the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing which way to turn at times or which way to go, you give us the counsel, just as you did to Joseph. You spoke your word to him. You speak your word to us. And your presence leads us as we trust you. And you give us strength in the midst of our weakness, because, Lord, we can't do it alone. We can't face it, and we can't go through life alone without you and the many challenges that we face. But we thank you that with you, you give us strength, and your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so, Father, thank you for Emmanuel, you coming to us now and forever, and the promise that we have that someday you will come down to us physically again when you return and you come to reign. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Until that time, we know that you are with us through your Spirit, living within, and nothing can ever separate us from you. Neither life nor death, nor any principality, nor anything above or below can ever separate us from you and your love. So, Father, we thank you, and we are confident in that, and we rejoice in that. So may the wonder of your presence restore and refresh and renew us again today. Thanking you for your grace, your presence in our life, through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.